Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Four Center Presents Databank Dive. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Navsok. We are so happy to be with all of you here for this fun-paced show? No. This is our show in which we sit down and in a fun way and a fast way look at the wild, wondrous, and sometimes weird parts of Star Wars. We're going to pull something for the databanks and talk about it. We also want to let you know that if you love what you hear here or been loving this databank dive, inspired by Databank Brawl in the past, we had a full season on The Companion, which is a great sci-fi fantasy content app. You can check that out there. Joseph, I'm so excited to get what we're talking about today. I just threw a bunch of words into a blender and poured it out onto the microphone.
Look, I think everything that you said made sense. We're very excited about the two F's that are in this podcast. Thank you all for listening to a double F podcast. That sounds dirty, but it isn't. Anyway, we're going to talk about something that is physically dirty at times in its career in Star Wars. We are very excited this episode to discuss Grogu's hovering pram.
Bum, bum, bum. This is great. This is great.
It's great. The pram goes through a lot, and there's a lot to talk about. So we're going to get right into it. We're going to go into some basic info. We always go to the databank page of StarWars.com and see if the thing we're talking about has an entry. And the pram indeed does. Here's what the StarWars.com databank has to say about Grogu's hovering pram. A hovering pram serves many functions, whether shielding a youngster with a special screen, protecting it from prying eyes and the atrocities of the world beyond, or coasting peacefully to the next destination, the device is a valuable tool for guardians with children too young to protect themselves. All right, let's talk about this entry a little bit, because one of the things we love about these database entries is they all have a slightly different vibe. Yeah. I think this is the first one that I've read that sounds like it was written by the manufacturer to be in a catalog.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great point. What I love about it is you are sitting there for these databanks, if you're writing them there at Lucasfilm, and you are sometimes you got to describe the object in general. But I think this is one where you're looking at what happens with it, and you're using that in the brochure catalog description. The atrocities, to hide them from the atrocities of the world beyond. I don't know if the makers of the pram had that in mind, but it's a good positive byproduct of having one of them. And I love that being in the description. It's real practical.
It's really funny to me because just watching in the show, you feel like, oh, well, this is designed for, you know, a youngling of some kind. And, you know, maybe you're somewhere loud and the youngling is sleeping and you just want to like close the lid and give them a little break. That's fine. But the idea that almost like manufacturers would advertise that that's like the second bullet point down, you know, like I hear like upbeat poppy music. You're watching a commercial and like the hovering pram can do it all, whether shielding a youngster with a special screen or protecting it from the atrocities of the world beyond. It's just this really funny contrast with the rest of the tone.
Yeah. Imagine it like an old school Kenner commercial, right? Like pram can hide kids from atrocities. Batteries.
Are you tired of carrying your youngster? Is your youngster getting too heavy? Are they also seeing atrocities in the world beyond? Well, we have the answer.
Love that. That's a great description.
Yeah, it's a great one. And then there's more detail, of course, on good old Wookiepedia. Here's what Wookiepedia has to say about Grogu's prams multiple. The hovering pram was a hovering device used to carry Grogu. So far, it makes a lot of sense. Din Djarin found it carrying Grogu on Arvala 7 and continued to use it to transport Grogu until handing him over to the client. When Djarin returned to rescue Grogu, he found the capsule discarded in a dumpster. Returning to Arvala 7 to recruit Queel, Djarin used a hover crate to transport the child. On board the Razor Crest, Djarin asked Queel to pad the container so Grogu could sleep better. But the Ugnaught offered instead to fabricate a better hovering pram himself. Queel's version retained the egg-shaped enclosing cover of Grogu's original capsule, but was fashioned out of metal. Djarin used Queel's capsule to transport Grogu until it was ripped open by Casca Reeves so she could retrieve Grogu after saving him from a mammacore.
Oh, that's right.
So that's a great track of all the different prams he has. I also just feel like I just like took some sort of like test. Like, can you pronounce all these words in this sequence?
Better you than me. That's beautiful. You know what? Because going into this episode, I got to tell you, if I was in a trivia contest, I would have answered the question, how many prams with, one. He only had one. No, three.
Three,
that's,
right?
That's crazy.
Yeah, because maybe two and a half. Like has a factory pram. We assume so. It came from your manufacturer. And then he has a crate for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I do remember Queel making him a better one. And then I love that this is a part of the legacy of the show, The Mandalorian, of like you'll have these big, beautiful scenes of characters making or rebuilding something and what it means to them emotionally. And then like two episodes later, it's gone.
It's gone.
Any other thoughts on that that Wikipedia entry? Any other revelations?
It makes me think of when we go to Arvala 7, where Din finds him. You're right. The pram is there. It's part of that now iconic and famous shot. Beautiful shot. The fingers touching. The pram is there. And a lot of people, I even saw this kind of come up today, I think in our Force Center Discord, just people wondering, hey, did we ever really find out? Or is that a big part of the story we don't know yet of how he even got there, him being Grogu? And into those the bounty hunters there and the gang there, obviously it's a big gap in the story so far that we might one day find out. But I wonder if the pram came with him, or was it the gang who was like, well, I don't know, what do we do? There's a valuable tool for guardians with children too young to protect themselves. Maybe we get one of those. Oh, yeah, go to town and get a pram.
Yeah, no, he has such a connection to it, and it is the kind of audience perspective, right, that we associate him with it, because that was an introduction. I am currently, as we record, wearing sweatpants that have a picture of Grogu in the pram. So, you know, it's around, literally physically my body right now. So audience perspective, it makes sense to associate with him, but there's something about his, like, sort of comfort in it that it feels like he's been with it for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Ooh, maybe it's a Jedi design.
Oh, yeah, maybe it's a Jedi pram. Or maybe he's had so many prams, and when we inevitably see the moment where he is rescued, I'd have to take a closer look at that flashback to Order 66. He might be in a Jedi pram.
Oh, that's a good oh, my gosh. You're right. Oh, you're right.
Well, this is just another Grogu action figure I'm going to have to buy then. Grogu with Order 66 Pram.
Order 66 Pram.
Disturbing. Yeah. All right, let's get into really discussing this. How would you physically describe Grogu's hovering pram for people who are maybe like not pulling it to mind? Or we often end up kind of describing our emotions here as well. So feel free to go that direction. But physically, what is Grogu's pram?
Yeah, it is a pain pill filled with pillows. So imagine a little, a pill that you have to swallow. Maybe you break up and like I do with my chihuahuas, I break up the pill and put the powder on the dog food. It's that, but it's filled with pillows. It is a little floating orb. This one, gray / dirty white, like you said, it's definitely seen some damage. I'd love to see a pram hot off the assembly line, the bold, bright colors on it. And it just floats. And of course, this is fits if you know who Grogu is, of course. And he's a small, diminutive, but powerful little soul in this galaxy. So the pram's kind of sized to him. It makes me wonder if there's, different sized prams that fit the child of that you have, the actual size and shape. Maybe there's one that fits a little baby Oporensis. I don't know. So that's my introduction there.
Oh, yeah. No, I like that because Grogu is, diminutive. You have a species like, I want to think, a Duatan, really big species. Like, yeah, do they have much larger prams? Yeah, I think the main thing I think of is like, this is like one of those chocolate Kinder eggs with the toy inside, but the toy is an actual baby. It's a Love Grogu that. In there.
That's a great description, yes.
Some of the other things that I think about it physically, with that lid, it does have a sensory deprivation tank vibe. Like it, but it also gives me this little bit of anxiety, like that if I ever tried a sensory deprivation tank, that they'd be like, it actually floats like Grogu's pram. You're just out of here.
That's a great question. Cause I don't know. My mother is very claustrophobic, so I probably got a little bit of that. I don't have a ton of it, but there's certain situations where it really kicks up. And one was stuck on an Amtrak train bunk, and the other one might be a pram. I don't know if that would comfort me at all. I think that would be – I know I might have the control to open it up, but that wouldn't be comforting for me. But I guess it is for Grogu.
Yeah, yeah. I think – There's definitely some questions about that. I think the other thing physically for me is it's not about physically resembling. It's more about the energy resembling. There's so much grocery cart energy to the way that Grogu can kind of put his hands right on the front and kind of lean out.
It's just like when I would, finish the candy bar before my mom went to the register. She'd have, she put the wrapper on, charges for that too. He ate it while he was in the pram, in the cart pram.
Did you, as a youngin, did you ride in that little grocery cart space that's for the kids up front with your legs sticking out in between the wires?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have memories of my mom, and I was this thinly built kid, believe it or not. If you see pictures of me now, I've got my dad's bulkier frame, but I remember my mom struggling to get me in it. Because I have a child of the 70s. So she had one of those bicycles that was like a 3-wheel bicycle with a basket in the back. And that would be my Grogu pram.
That is a total, hey, yeah, absolutely, a little bicycle basket. Yeah, yeah, I just suddenly had one of those moments of like, oh, yeah, remember how you used to stick your legs through metal bars? But I remember it just being like two holes for the legs and like metal in your crotch. And like, yeah, and then you'd ride in the front of the grocery cart. And I suddenly had one of those moments of like, that's real, right? I didn't make that up, that happened to me. That happens, right?
This episode has taken you and I into some like deep-seated therapy where we're like recalling memories of being pushed around. For me, it was in a Lucky Brand grocery store. Being little Grogu in the grocery cart.
Yeah, I was rolling in the Red Owl. I was good days, good days back then. Able to grab things. Let's talk about the magic of the pram. What does it bring to or add to the Star Wars galaxy?
I'll tell you something. It is genius. It is absolutely genius. It is so practical, both in story, in the galaxy, right? There's clearly babies in the galaxies. Was it easy to get them around? It's a pram, and it would float because we're in Star Wars world. So it works on that level. It works on the, I call it kind of the 3PO in a sack on Chewie's back level, where, well, we got this droid. It's hard to get Tony Daniels around fast. What are we going to do? You know what? He's in a backpack, and that's how we're going to get around Bespin quick. And it kind of works that way too, where you're like, cool, you got this wonderful thing, Din, Grogu, this story, Lone Wolf and Cub. How do we move that, move it all around fast? A floating pram. So it's just genius in its simplicity. It's so of Star Wars. There's just a lot of wonder to it. It is so sci-fi in its own way. But also in this galaxy, that is what you would have, a floating pram.
Yeah, I think that's it. Is like, it's a pram. It's a real thing, right? But it's mm-hmm. the space fantasy version. So it's this great sweet spot of Star Wars where it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
But also feels like weird and fantastic at the same time. The way like the Millennium Falcon is like the most thrilling, bizarre, exotic ship, but also like, it's an old clunker.
Yeah.
You know exactly what it is. And yet it's also fantastic.
Totally. Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then I think once you get in kind of the storytelling of it, there's this weird tension that you and I have already wandered into, that it feels both really secure and comforting and safe and totally vulnerable, right?
Yes.
I think the fact that like, okay, you can shut the door, but is that safe to not know what's going on? Who's pushing you and where you're going? Mm-hmm. How much control do you have over it? I think I was really affected by, you know, like obviously it you know, has some level of directional control, but it's also got that like kind of floaty energy. Like it's got this bumper cart vibe. Like it means to go that direction, but then it'll also just kind of float a little bit. Like those moments where Din wants to get it out of a fight and you give it a kick and it just kind of floats.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so you touch on something that's really, really wanted, just this inherent danger to the pram while also being completely safe. There's so many times, especially watching Mando with Grace, like, she has such great reactions sometimes to when like the pram is there and she's like, go, don't you touch Grogu. Like, you know, it's got to be pushed away or float away, or he brings it over to safety, you know, with a press of the button. And it really heightens the danger while also being what you need it to be, a safe place.
Yeah. And I think that maybe that's it too. I forgot about, you're right. He does have like the parent button to, he's got the remote button control built into his armor. And I think there's that thing about like, once you're an adult, you sometimes kind of long for those moments of feeling, you know, safe and secure. But then you also, at least for me, it's like, but I don't want to lose my agency. So there's this part of me is like, oh, it feels so nice to just be nice to float in a hovering pram. I can close it if I want. And then the idea that somebody else has a remote control that would just hit a button, go over there.
Yeah,
I don't like that. I also think it's got this, the pram has this great tip of the iceberg vibe that I so value in Star Wars, where you totally understand what it is. You understand its function in the story, but it invites all these other fun questions that aren't pertinent to be answered in the story. So you see that pram and you go like, are they rare? Is that weird to encounter? Or is this like totally normal if we spent more time with infants in Star Wars? And then you go like, are they rare because they're expensive and like, are they a cross-cultural thing or do they only appear in certain cultures? Do any cultures have races with them?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that. No, that's great. No, I it's something that's obviously so unique to Grogu and the story of the Mandalorian right now. So and I want it to kind of remain that way. There's some magic there, but you're right. I would love, and I don't need it to be like spotlight on it. Look, a pram, but like, I would love it to show up someplace else in Star Wars. Yeah. I think that would be great. Like another kid, not Grogu, but like another kid, another pram.
Yeah, I would like love to see some story about an entitled little rich kid in like the super fancy pram.
Yeah.
Since Grogu's is clearly in the tradition of a lived-in universe. That's a lived-in pram. There are smells in there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, George Lucas approved. Lived-in pram. Lived-in pram.
Lived-in hovering pram. Should Grogu's pram, we talked about safety, so in that spirit, should Grogu's hovering pram have been kitted out with an arsenal of weaponry?
This is a fair point. It's a great question. I think by season two, not that Din lives his lives in seasons where he's like, oh, we're getting ready for a new season. But I think maybe he could have done something there and make it, you know, made it less of a pram and more of a battle pod. That makes some sense to me.
When you say battle pod, I get this image of just Grogu with two joysticks and there's blasters on the front and he's just firing away.
Yes. Like the shield, like the front, it can still close, but it can be transparent. It's like a little cockpit, like a little floating cockpit with some weaponry on it. Maybe some S foils come out. I don't know. My thing about this is there's so many times during Mandalorian season one and two where, you know what I'm talking about, where you're just like, be a better dad, Din. Like you're leaving this kid out in the cold here. Like, what are you doing? He can't. And plus he gets out and walks, you know, you're just, come on, you got to get a better handle on this. So I think by the time we see him in season two, you know, this is the starts of that Grimorian guard fight where you and I love that moment of Grogu so used to his dad's violence by now, he knows it's coming. So he presses the button and hides. Great moment. Great use of the pram. Wonderful moment. But Din knows I get into some hairy situations. I got to give the kid a fighting chance. Let me put some missiles. Let me put some whistling birds on the pram.
Yeah, I just think it's one of those conversations that maybe happened off screen, because I feel like Pelimoto's the first person who just like, you're his dad and you're only okay at it. There are some basics. I feel like there could be like a cut scene where Pelimoto is like, you know, your whole culture is weapons. Your body is a walking arsenal.
Right.
You ever think of putting any of those on the kid's ride?
Totally.
Didn't be like, God. No.
Yes, absolutely. I absolutely think that's what she'd be like, hey, you know, you could put some rockets on here. My ex-boyfriend Tika knows how to do it. He'll come by. And yes, I am submitting that in my headcanon that Tika was the Jawa. So I know that's been discussed before.
Amazing. Yeah, we're gonna have to have a debate show about that one. Did Tika debate Pelimoto? Connections between Obi-Wan Kenobi and the Mandalorian? Yeah, I mean, I think there's so much. It's like definitely a fun thing to like think about, to joke about, to think about Din's relationship to weapons and to his culture that she's not shy about talking about. But then there's also that storytelling thing about what is Grogu's relationship to violence and how much Din is exposing him to it. And like, would putting two just big bleeping blasters at the front be the right parenting decision? So where my mind goes is like, that pram should be loaded with defensive weaponry. Like, this should be like, you know, James Bond's car, particularly in like Tomorrow Never Dies, where like you touch it and you get a shock, right? No blaster can get through the armor. It has the loudest, coolest, most exotic car alarm honk in the galaxy. Just ear-shattering car alarm honk if anybody messes with it, you know?
I love the Bond connection there. Q would be proud. This is a little Aston Martin waiting for some ejector seats here.
Yeah, absolutely. Tons of great defense. Lots of shocking. Lots of pirates getting shocked.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So since losing his third pram, Grogu has just been riding in Din's shoulder bag, as well as wobbling around on his own two precious little feet, being taught how to jump higher by Luke Skywalker. Is it time for Grogu to leave the pram behind? Will the pram return, or has that been a part of our introduction to Grogu and he's grown up now?
Sadly, this is tough to say. Sadly, yes, it's time for the pram to die, as Luke Skywalker would have said in The Last Jedi if he was talking about prams. because I think me and other Star Wars fans and podcasters have talked about this, but, you know, one day preteen Grogu's going to be around. One day he's going to be a little older if the story carries out. And, you know, his fate's, still to be determined in the long run of the Star Wars story. But there's going to be that awkward season of the sitcom where his Grogu's voice is cracking, and we actually maybe hear his words and his voice and his thoughts. So I think all of it kind of makes sense, and the pram must be a thing of the past.
Yeah, I love it. And there's a part of me that does just want to see different variations of it, but I feel like it is a means of storytelling. I'd almost rather see the pram other places, other ways. But I kind of love this idea that, you know, Grogu's really evolving. I think we see that in Book of Boba Fett, that he makes his choice to go back with Din, but he is affected by his training, the way he calms that rancor. So it makes me kind of fascinated with the pram, that is there this like part of this that, like, even with whatever his weird species is, you're not really supposed to be in that pram at 50.
No.
You know, is a part of the story. Like, that's a little bit of, you know, he's not getting out in the world, you know, the dark side of that, being held back from the atrocities of the world, of like, you should be out there wobbling on your own feet. You know how to force hop now. You can keep up. So I love the idea that maybe Grogu has, you know, in this dark time before Din found him, in between being rescued from the Jedi Temple and what it's okay, just describes as he's got some dark memories there. Doesn't want to think about him, doesn't want to talk about him. And then you rescue him, and like the pram's kind of like, it's cute, but it's a symbol of that, of like, I didn't grow, I didn't change, I didn't evolve, I just survived. And now he's growing, he's changing, he's force hopping to the point where, could we see a great comedy scene where Din gets him a new pram and tries to put Grogu in it, and Grogu just throws a force fit. Just like grabs the edges with all limbs, like, no, no, not going back. Force throws the pram into the distance. Just no. Time for Grogu to evolve.
I absolutely agree with you. I could almost see something like this happening. They've been reunited and Grogu's made this big decision, and there's a little bit of the dad saying, great, here's your toys. And the kid saying, no, I'm not a kid anymore. I'm not. I think that's wonderful. And I love the force tantrum. Like maybe he throws against, maybe Grogu crumbles it almost in a, like he taps too much into his anger. There's a lesson there to learn. There's a lot there.
Yeah. Or probably he would just like use the force to push it away slowly and play that game where like Din walks towards it. He pushes it farther away.
Yeah. And then Din keeps pressing the, as he said, the parent button and pulling it close. And then Grogu pushes away. Yeah.
Yep. He pushes against those parental controls. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned this, but I'm very curious. Any other thoughts of what other Star Wars characters you would like to see as babies floating around in a hovering pram?
The easy answer is what I'm calling a gaggle of walklings. I forget what Ewoks as a group are called. I actually tried to look it up this morning over breakfast, and I got distracted by looking at the life and times of Chief Chirpa. But yeah, I'll just put a bunch of walklings, like three or four of them, in some prams, like a little pram squad of walklings going around defending Bright Tree Village.
Oh, that is pretty great. Would they have little cute little training spears?
Yeah, little training spears, and then some slings, little baby walkling swings, so that they sneak up on you. Like four of them, it's like a little biker gang. They come hovering in, like they're Jetsons, and then the prams open up, and then they're like, ooh, with the slings and slinging rocks at you.
Ooh, I like that a lot. That would be absolutely great to have. Could they float up the trees?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. There's probably some limitation on it, right? Otherwise, you could just take it up into space. But, no hyperdrives on them. I think the Rebel Alliance has given the Ewoks some high-powered prams to help them around Bright Tree Village. Up and down.
Yeah, I like that very, very much. That's very kind. I would like to see baby Jedi Master Jarl Poof. Mm-hmm. The Jedi with the tall neck and the wobbly head. I think it'd just be very cute to have the pram open, and then for a second you don't know who's in it, and then this cute baby head on a tall neck pops up, and you're like, how does that even fit in there?
It's all curled up. He unfurls it. Mm-hmm.
The unfurled neck of Jarl Poof. And then the one I really want to see is there's something, since Grogu is so lovable, I kind of want to see a troublemaker just being a little jerk in a pram. And my mind went to Greedo. I want to see Greedo, little baby Greedo, starting fights that he shouldn't in his pram, just ramming people with it. And show us that, Greedo's always had bad judgment.
Yeah. Going for the ankles. Oh, I love that there. I was going to say it. The question is specifically to babies floating around in the pram as it should be. But I want to adapt the technology. And in Mando season 3, I want to see Babu Frick show up in a battle pram.
Oh, wow. A battle pram. That is perfect. Yeah, because he can kit one out like nobody's business. Everything we talked about and more, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You think it's a pram and suddenly like legs and arms pop out and it's a Mecha Babu Frick.
Yeah. Mecha Frick.
Mecha Frick. Sounds also dirty. Anyway, we always like to conclude by making it very, very personal to ourselves. And I think the big question, Ken, hanging over this entire episode of Data Bank Dive is, do you want an adult-sized pram to hover in?
I do. I felt I had one for years. I used to drive a 1991 Plymouth Colt, which was about the size of Grogu's pram and felt like one when I was driving around and it rattling around the LA freeways. So I feel as though I've done that. But yes, I would absolutely want one now. I think it would be convenient. I think it would be relaxing. And where would I go? I am proficient in driving around golf carts. I've even gone through a Del Taco drive-through with a golf cart at 2 in the morning. So I would take my pram all around the city.
That sounds like a story. yeah, I do want one. I just want to feel what it would be like to float in one. And it looks so calming. I'd feel really bad using it. So it's one of these things I'm trying to get better about on podcasts, going, yeah, I want that. Yeah, use that. And like, yes, I want that. And yes, I want to use that. But the thought of actually just climbing into it and starting to float around my neighborhood, I feel like a big jerk.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think what you and I would need to do is turn it from pram to nap pod. It's just a spot in our house where it's just you take nice naps.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's getting kind of almost to like, you know, riding a train in an individual pod, right? That kind of design of like mass transit with pods. Like, you just go in there and it's like you're floating around in your living room getting from point A to point B. That's the part that's pretty appealing.
You know what? You're making me laugh here because I've only one time Mark Ellis and I went to a stand-up gig and we sprung for Delta One, which is beyond first class. It's absurd class. And you feel like you're in a pram. Now, I think I've experienced this because you get in blankets. You have your own TV. And by the way, this was like a 45-minute flight. No, actually, it was about 4 hours to DC, if I remember. And Ellis kept taking pictures because he'd been in this room. He's taking pictures of me because he's like you're like a baby, you're like a kid. You're so excited to be in here. And I had the best sleep I've had in a long time. And I ate a special egg breakfast. Oh my gosh! I think you're right. It was a plane pram.
A hovering pram. A plane is kind of a hovering pram in its own way. Yeah.
Yes.
Doesn't keep us away from the atrocities of the world, though. If you had one, where would you go and what kind of stuff would you take in there with you? If you could just have an adult size Grogu pram and you're just like, hey, I gotta go down to Hollywood from the Valley. I got some business down there, but I'm going to float my pram. Is that where you'd take it, or would you take it somewhere else and what would you have in there?
I mean, let me ask this question. Am I controlling the pram or is it on auto?
It's on auto. I think you program it and you got to trust it.
Then great. You just got to try. Oh, this is why I don't want self-driving cars yet. Music, definitely have some good music, some road music, some pram playlists to listen to. Mm-hmm. I couldn't read. I wouldn't be do that. Cause I do love driving and I love riding cars. Like I'm one of those folks. I drive to relax sometimes and just look at the scenery in the countryside. So, and yes, you can find that in LA if you drive far enough. So I think I want the pram to be a little open and I'd go for a little joyride.
Yeah, I would love that. I think realistically, if they were real, the way I would use it is I like going for long walks. My wife and I are really lucky to live within easy walking distance of Griffith Park. So we go into Griffith Park and we walk and enjoy some nature. It's here in Los Angeles. But sometimes my wife wants to go for a much longer walk than I do. So if we could go for as long as we want with the pram lady next to me, and then my wife's like, and I want to walk for 2 more miles. And I'd be like, cool, I'm getting in my pram.
Could she have the gauntlet with the button on it, though? So she can keep you safe or keep you close? Oh, I'd love to see Sarah with that.
My wife, Sarah, and her entire family have this incredibly strong urge to help and protect. So she would want one, yes.
Yeah,
okay. And she'd offer, like, if you want to close up, you got a nightlight in there, you got some reading materials, you got some cheese. If you want to close up, you know, I'll make sure you don't get taken by a bear. Don't worry about it.
Love it. That's great. That's great.
Yeah, talking about prams helps you discover who in your life you trust. We made a discovery. So moving on to our final rating, we always like to rate the wild and weird factor. We use the original Star Wars weirdo, well, one of them, a favorite of ours, Lobot. So we rate from 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. So out of 10 Lobot heads, Ken, how many Lobot heads do you give Grogu's pram?
It's so funny because we both talked about how this is just so normal and it's so practical and it's a baby pram in Star Wars. So that tends to maybe, you know, make me want to just rank it a little lower. But when you stop and think about it and how it was presented and how is it controlled and where did it come from? I'm going like an 8. It's a Star Wars baby pram and it stands out and it's wild and it's wondrous and it's weird. And it's everything we love here. So I'm going 8 Lobots.
You know, we are in sync. I'm going 8 as well. I think it has so many weird and wild moments in the show and fun moments in the show. But what I really love about it is, yeah, you see it and you go like, oh, that makes perfect sense. Wait, I have 1,000 questions. You scratch the surface and you find the wild and weird of Grogu's hovering pram. So there you go. That's our ratings. Feel free to let us know what number you would rate it at. So let us know your opinion as well if you're interested. Ken, where can people find us?
Hey, it's real simple. We got a place on Twitter called at Force Center Pod. You go there and there's a link tree that links to everything you want to go to. Our Patreon page actually links from there too. And our Instagram page got the link tree. So do all that. Find us everywhere. Search, find us. We are there. Don't forget, we are on YouTube as well. Follow me at KatNapsok. Go to my website, KatNapsok.com. You, sir.
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. And for all my other comedy adventures, you can check out my website at josephscrimshaw.com. But for now, Ken and I are going to float away in our prams. This has been Data Bank Dive.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.